Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk from a product. I'm Melinda Ligos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and we have a very special guest on ASI Radio today. Steve Forbes is going to be with us this morning. Of course, he's going to be speaking at the ASI show in Orlando on January 7th, but we have him here today. Now, of course, Mr. Forbes is chairman of Forbes Media, and he continues to head up Forbes, the most successful business news magazine in America. Throughout his tenure, Mr. Forbes has shown keen ability to provide economic and political insights on the most debated issues of the day, and he's been trusted by business leaders around the world. Bringing together his experience as a renowned journalist, expert economist, and former presidential candidate, Forbes is going to talk to us today about who he thinks is going to become president, yeah. Who he thinks he's doing a better job campaigning, and of course, how small businesses can succeed in 2013. Welcome to ASI Radio, Mr. Forbes.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Thanks. We're so happy to have you here today, and we're going to jump right into it if it's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. Mr. Forbes, who do you think will win the presidential election and why?
I think Governor Romney will win. I think he did well in the debate last week, primarily because he emphasized his pro-growth program, particularly the across-the-board cuts in income tax rates, and at the same time starting to clean up the tax code. I think he also understands, I think people grasp this more than ever before, that he understands that small and medium-sized businesses are the font both of innovation in this economy and also job creation. So given what's happened in the last 3.5 years, an economy that resembles a car on an open highway that should be going 70 miles an hour, but instead is puttering at 20, 25 miles an hour and shows signs of going at an even slower pace, I think people want to change. They just don't vote. Americans don't like to fire a president, but they need a positive alternative, and I think they are beginning to grasp that Governor Romney with his vice presidential running mate Paul Ryan have some substantive positive proposals. That's how you win. You just can't run against. You have to have something substantive that gives people hope for the future.
Okay, well, my next question is kind of related to that, and I think you've answered it partially, but which candidate do you think is doing a better job of promoting their candidacy and cause? And obviously right now, you know, in the polls, it shows the two candidates still being extremely close.
Yeah, well, one of the interesting things, just as an aside, is there's going to be a huge debate or discussion or everything after the election on why the polls were so contradictory, so all over the place. That's going to get to methodology, modeling, the fact that 9 out of 10 people won't answer pollsters' questions, especially now since the bulk of them have to come over cell phones. So the whole way you do polling, I think, is going to come in for a searing examination by the polling industry. Technology has changed substantially the way you would normally do polling in the past. That said, I think that the President Obama in the last debate did not put forth a positive reason in terms of what's happened in the last 3 years, why people should expect a big change in the next 4 years. He missed that opportunity. He may do it in the debate that comes next week. We'll see. But people don't want just more of the same. And Governor Romney was a little slow off the mark in terms of getting a positive program out there. I think he could have done more at the convention on that front. But it's now happening, and I think that's why the momentum is shifting his way. People see a positive program, which is what they want.
Okay, so you see Romney continuing to gain momentum.
I do, even though there's going to, you know, 4 weeks is like four, and politics and an election is like 4 years in normal life, sort of like
right.
A dog years. And
yeah.
So there'll be a lot of turmoil in the next 4 weeks, but I think come November 6th, or I should say November 7th, he will be president-elect.
Okay, well, thank you for that. We're going to switch gears right now and talk a little bit about Forbes magazine. Obviously, it's the nation's leading business magazine with more than a circulation of more than 900,000, which is pretty impressive for a print magazine these days. What's your prediction in general for the future of print media?
I think print media is going to, there'll be some standalone, but I think print media in the future is going to have to be part and parcel of the web, of establishing a community with readers and unique visitors on websites. And several years ago, a little over 3 years ago, we made the decision to combine both the website and the print side of the of our operations editorially and in terms of marketing. Before, the two were separate, and it was a wrenching thing bringing the two together, but we had to do it. In this day and age, you have to master all platforms, not just one. So Forbes magazine is intimately tied to the website in terms of what it does. And the amazing thing about the website is that our website is that over 98% of the content is non-Forbes magazine content. So you have to do both. And I think there will be a role for print, but it's got to be part of a whole. And proportionately, print will decline in importance, but it will still be there. Radio has been around, despite television and everything else. You know, it's been through enormous changes several times, the radio industry, and going through another one. But it will emerge again. It's like small retailers. When chains came along, starting with the old A&P back in the 1920s, people thought that would be the end of small retailers. Or when Walmart comes along, end of small retailers. No, it means the makeup of the retailing industry may change, but the variety of stores from small to large, that does not change.
Mr. Forbes, you touched on your website, which is fantastically getting 25 million unique monthly visitors. So my next question is, how can business owners leverage the power of the Internet to build their brands and extend their client bases?
Well, starting, they do it by recognizing that, or not confusing, what you do on the web, and I think most people now grasp this, but don't confuse the web with print media. With print, you are giving a message. With the web, you are creating a community, an interactive community. And it's not just one site. You've got all the social sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitting, and everything out there, doing tweets each day. And all of this is you've got to be part of it, and so when you and you also in the many ways creating content. That's one of the things we do now. We call it brand voice. We market that it's created by marketers, but we're back in one sense, and retailers should grasp this as an opportunity. Back in the 1950s, when TV first came along in the early 50s. The content was not just made in Hollywood. Companies like P&G, Procter & Gamble, had content made to be able to have a showcase to advertise their soaps. That's how we got the words soap opera, was from what P&G did. Then, of course, television took over content creation. But this time, there's not going to be one content creator or all content creators. So retailers, small businesses have to see themselves as not just putting out a message, but constantly interacting with their customers and would-be customers.
Good morning, Mr. Forbes. Joe Haley here. I have a question for you. You've had the opportunity to talk with some of this country's most esteemed and successful company CEOs. What's the single smartest piece of business advice you've ever heard or received from them?
Well, there are several. One is, be prepared for curveballs. We live in an era where no matter how good or smart you are, something's going to come your way that you don't expect. It could be from a mistake you made. It could be from circumstances beyond your control, technology changes. But you have to be very, very adaptable, which gets to the bottom line on this, and that is, remember what your purpose is. What is your business trying to do? Peter Drucker, the late management guru, emphasized this. If you remember what your purpose is, if you remember what your mission is, then you're more able to handle changes in the environment. You don't get quite hung up on, well, this is the way we always did it. The way may have to change if you remember what it is ultimately you're trying to do. And we try to constantly remind ourselves of that in the media business. The way we create content has changed dramatically. We have over 850 signed contributors for our website now. And so if you go forward with that mindset, One, you're going to have surprises, but equally so, if you remember what your purpose is, you're much more likely to get over these storms, which are going to be constant. And that leads to a second big thing, and that is you have to do both deal with the current turmoil, but at the same time, ask yourself, what kind of company do you want to be 3-5 years down the road, and start making investments for the future, even if, and that's tough to do, dealing with a current crisis and turmoil, and at the same time, laying the groundwork for the future. Very, very hard to do, which is why the saying has never been more truer, you can eat well or sleep well, but not both.
Okay, Mr. Forbes, let's switch gears a little again, and I have a question about supply-side economics. In your opinion, has it worked?
Supply-side economics is kind of a mouthful phrase for free markets, for freedom. And free markets with sensible rules of the road always work. When you have an environment that is a benign environment on taxes, a benign environment in terms of rules and regulations, that don't get in the way of being able to set up a business, expand a business, then we all come out ahead. The thing to keep in mind about free markets is they meet the needs of people. You don't succeed in a free market unless you provide a product or service that somebody else wants. It's about transactions, voluntary transactions. And if you have an environment where that can take place, where the emphasis is on meeting the needs and wants of other people, then you will prosper. But if you get an environment that is hostile in terms of taxation, that is hostile in terms of undermining the dollar and manipulating interest rates, that is piling on new rules and regulations, that makes it very hard, reduces the space in which you can work. And sadly, we see that happening in Europe. France is about to increase its top tax rate to 75%. Spain's just done it to 52%. They're raising their national sales tax, what they call a value-added tax over there, from 18 to 21%. And they wonder why their economies are in a spiral downward. So, yes, freedom works with sensible rules. It always does.
Now, Mr. Forbes, obviously today's business climate is a difficult one, and many of our listeners, really most of our listeners, are small businesses. What kind of advice do you have for small businesses to try to succeed in today's economic climate?
Well, that gets to what we're touching on earlier, and that is you've got a very different and tough environment. Access to credit, as we know, is uncertain. That is one of the side effects, disastrous side effects of this low interest rate manipulation that the Federal Reserve has done. What the Fed has done is made it very easy for Uncle Sam to borrow at these record deficits, sort of deficit without tears, because Uncle Sam gets the money virtually for free, most of it printed by the Fed at nominal interest rates. What it also means, though, is that since you don't have a real price for credit, no one believes, for example, that a 10-year bond, given the finances of our U.S. government today, should yield only 1.6, 1.7%, is that it makes it very difficult to price credit, which makes it very dicey for those who want to get it. So you have small businesses have to cope with an environment where the economy is not performing as it should, that if you do want to expand, you are going to have a harder time getting the credit than you would have a few years ago because of this crazy low-interest environment. So what I just emphasize what they know already. Watch cash flow like a hawk and then some. And but also ask yourself in an ideal environment, what kind of business do you want to have 5 years from now? And how do you start to preparing for it? So that's, as I said, a lot of gray hairs are out there, a lot of premature hair loss out there. But we will recover from this environment. We always do. And those who get through this storm are going to be in a much stronger position to expand because they've been tested in a way that you shouldn't have to be tested.
Mr. Forbes, here's another economic competitive type of question. You know, we've all heard that, you know, China is growing and it's a manufacturing leader. Do you think that U.S. businesses can compete? Do you see the Made in the USA brand getting its groove back, so to speak, especially in an election year?
Well, I think in the next generation, you're going to see the U.S. once again become a font of manufacturing, because more and more manufacturing is going to be impacted. It's already been impacted by high technology, but it's just beginning in terms of materials, in terms of robotics and other things, and where it's going to depend not just on labor costs. We always compare our costs with China and that kind of thing, but brain power. And we're very good on the brain power part. And so manufacturing is going to change enormously, and we're going to be leading it. Just to give an example of how this might take place, back in the 1980s, microchips, where everyone realized they were the essence of high tech, and there was a lot of worry that South Korea and Japan could make chips cheaper than we could. Well, that was true in terms of what you might call run-of-the-mill commodity chips, but Intel and others came along with huge advances in the architecture of the chip, value added. And so even though they cost more, people bought them because they delivered far more. And so it wasn't just the cost of the physical manufacturing, it was the value added that made these things desirable and made us the font of the leader of high tech. I think you can see the same thing in manufacturing. You take, for example, Boeing has got a great new airliner, the Dreamliner, but it's incremental advances from the 707 and 747. I think you're going to see real leaps forward in the next 10 to 20 years. And so it's not just going to be what you might call commodity manufacturing. It's going to be value-added manufacturing on a scale we haven't seen in recent years. And I think the U.S. is going to be at the forefront of it.
All right. Mr. Forbes, thank you so much for coming on our show today. Those are some great insights. And, of course, we're going to look forward to hearing much more from you at ASI Orlando on January 7th. Thanks again, and have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was keynote. That was our January ASI show keynoter, Steve Forbes. Again, he's going to be speaking Monday, January 7th at ASI Orlando. That event's going to be sponsored by Showdown Displays and Pepco. What do you think, guys? He's got some great insights.
I think there's some good advice there. The idea of adaptability and how, he said people need to be prepared for curveballs. It's almost like every day there's a curveball as far as the economy is concerned, and companies that can adapt and go with the flow of that are the most successful.
Yeah. The neat thing is he'll be speaking on January 7th, which, of course, the election will be over. So
yeah. He'll
be able to have new insights onto what people can expect in 2013, depending on who is elected or reelected.
He's either going to be very happy or very sad.
Either way, he's a very smart guy. And I'm sure, he's got a lot more to say, too, about, how small businesses can grow. So, check out asishow.com to register for this free keynote. There's some very limited opportunities to actually meet Steve Forbes and get a signed copy of his book and have early admission to that keynote. But you have to go to asishow.com right away. Super limited, probably sold out in the next couple of weeks here or there. So, all right. Well, that was an exciting way to start off the show. We are going to get into Joe's going to tell us 14 ways to get insanely motivated, which I'd like to know.
Okay, well, I can't tell you all 14 of them, but I'll tell you one that's not on the list. Kathy, what do you do every morning when you look in the mirror?
I say, you're adorable.
She does. She really does.
That's self-sodomy. Okay, one thing, have goals, but remain flexible. You don't want your goals to be, so set in concrete that you can't eventually attain them. And it goes back to what Mr. Forbes just said about, being ready for that curveball. Here's another one. Take responsibility for your own results. So in other words, don't leave it up to fate. Don't leave it up to hope. Don't leave it up to things that are beyond your control, because then, you'll have a hard time getting there. Celebrate your failures.
Wow.
That's the one thing. A lot of people are afraid to fail, but the thing about failure is that it's something that you can learn from. It truly is a learning experience. And
I was at the World Business Forum last year, and Benjamin Zander, this famous, who I'm talking about, famous composer, got up and did a whole talk about that. And he said, when you fail, you should throw your hands in the air and say, that's fantastic, because you got,
that's
all
what
kinds
I do.
Of things you can learn from it. So now our publisher, Rich Fairfield, and I, when someone screws up, we say, that's fantastic. But there's some real truth to that. Sorry.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Here's another one. Avoid weak goals. Goals are the soul of achievement, so never begin them with "I'll try." Always start with "I will" or "I must." So, you know, have good, strong goals. I'll give you one more. Think before you speak. And I think that's something that many of us, you know, me included, do that. You know, foot is in mouth quicker than, you know, you can say "Hey." So we'll post this whole list of 14 easy ways to get insanely motivated on asicentral.com/radio.
All right, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, ASI Computers. And when we return, Kathy's going to give us 5 sales myths that you just got to get over.
Have you outgrown your current order management software? ASI Computer Systems and ASI SmartVaults will streamline your business. From accounting and marketing to order management and shipping, ASI SmartBooks manages all aspects of your business with one software solution, specifically designed for the advertising specialty industry, and fully integrated with ESP and ASI Smart Sales. Spend less time organizing and more time making sales. Call 1-800-544-1274 or visit asicomp.com to grow your business with ASI SmartBooks. Get ASI SmartBooks.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where we just had Steve Forbes on the show. Of course, he's going to be speaking at ASI Orlando on January 7th. Go to asishow.com to sign up for that keynote. But in the meantime, Kathy, there's a lot of myths out about sales and salespeople.
That's right.
How can we just get over them?
Well, I'm going to give you 3 of 5 myths, and we'll put the rest up on our website. But myth number one for a salesperson is to think that they're not good at being pushy, and therefore they're not going to make the sale.
I always say that. That's why I'd be a bad salesperson.
Yeah,
I don't want
to. But That's not the case. The advice is to think about the best experience you've had with a salesperson. And chances are you didn't think of that person as pushy, did you?
Right.
You thought of them as helpful. Right, with solutions to your needs.
That's
right. Now, myth number two is, I don't know how to reach the person who buys my product. Okay. Well, the person answering the phone may not always be the person who makes the buying decision. She can often provide you with great insight about the company and the needs of the company and put you in touch with the person who is.
I'd suggest if you're saying that, though, you're probably in the wrong profession.
I know.
If you don't know where your buyer is or who your buyer is, I would say you need to adapt out of it, as Steve Forbes might say.
Andy, take issue with Inc. magazine, not me, okay? They're the ones that are putting forth these myths. Myth number three, I don't want to bother the customer. Again, this is the same thing as...
You're helping them.
Exactly.
Get over it.
It's the same thing as worrying about being pushy. You're bothering a potential customer only if you are calling someone for whom you have no value, your product or your service. And obviously, you're not going to be calling people that have no need for your service. Or otherwise, you're in the wrong profession too, right, Andy?
Again.
You're laying it down today.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. What's up with that?
All right. So there you go.
All right. We're going to put the rest of these online at asicentral.com/radio. Nicole, you're an interesting person to present this topic.
That's what Andy said.
And, you know, if Michelle was here, she would be too. We're going to talk about how to overcome a smartphone addiction, because we do know a few people in our department.
Name Nicole.
Who... are addicted. You have a Crackberry, right?
I do, but the thing is, and I just want to point this out.
You have 2 phones.
Yeah, I grabbed this by accident, my personal phone. I don't know why I grabbed it. But the thing is, I just want to say.
But you used it during the show.
But I was tweeting what Steve Forbes said about the presidential election and put in the link to the radio show. That's why I did it. I was going to mention that because I knew someone would say that. You were all staring at me.
She's a little defensive.
Well, because I was doing it to get more listeners. So, yes.
How can you overcome an addiction?
Okay, well, just to preface it, the Harvard Business School did a survey, and they said that 70% of managers, professionals, check their smartphone within an hour of waking up. Mine's like a minute of waking up.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, within an hour, over the weekend, on vacation, and a lot of
That's
people are...
That's considered an addiction?
Apparently.
Okay.
But here are some tips. So be strong if your phone beeps or rings. You don't have to look at it right away. So this has been hard for me. Like, I'm actually jittery because I want to check it. Be conscious of what emotions you're feeling. Why do you want to check it? I mean, I don't agree with that one because, I mean, I'm not... Well,
so why do you want to? Why do you
because
check
I feel
it?
Because I'm a manic, like, workaholic, 1,000 thoughts a minute person. So I always have to be stimulated.
But it's deeper than that.
No, it's not.
Yes,
that's
it,
what
is.
It is.
Why?
She's
why
really
are
waiting
you,
to see if her boyfriend.
Why are you so manic workaholic?
That's the way
that's
I was born. So
question.
I can't.
All right,
change
let's
that.
Move on.
All right,
Lady Gaga.
This was a good one. This is one I agree with. Be disciplined. So don't use it at dinner. Don't use it when your kids are around. You know, kind of set hours for when you're going to look at it.
And not while driving.
Not while driving. Don't text.
No, people, I see
people
all the
text
time
and drive
see,
all the time.
I see people doing it on the road
it's
trip.
Really
named Andy.
And, you know, obviously in a social situation, you don't want to be
working.
Checking the phone and stuff like that. And on vacation, right. Try not to check it. Check it at night.
Well, yeah. I mean, I set times when I check mm-hmm. on vacation. Right. The morning and night. Maybe one other time. But I don't bring it, you know, with me on family outings on vacation.
Yeah, me either.
Okay. All right, we're going to put some of these other tips on how to overcome a smartphone addiction online. But Andy. Andy, you there?
You want me to just go? Or?
Well, you're going to talk about having engaged employees and how that can lead to high customer spending, and who does not want customers to spend more?
Everybody does. So exactly. It's not just the product or the service that your company offers that determines sales success. It's also how engaged and motivated your employees are. Or if you're a one person operation, then it's how engaged and motivated you are. We found a study that said that companies with highly engaged employees actually have revenues that are 23% higher than companies that say that they don't think their employees are so engaged. So the key here is to communicate as much as possible with employees, make sure everybody understands the goals of the company, recognize people when things go well, and offer incentive programs to ensure that people are motivated to help customers. That's the key, is that engaged employees want to help customers do better. Like Kathy was saying, it's not that you're in the way or trying to bother people, you know, your customers. What you're trying to do is help them make their business better, and that's especially what distributors do. You're trying to help companies make their marketing better or their internal communications better. So that's your job, and your employees' jobs are to be as engaged and motivated in that goal as possible.
All right. Thank you, Andy Cohen. We have just enough time in the show for the editors to talk about their favorite products of the week. Kathy Houston, what do you got?
This week I am cuckoo for coconuts.
Aren't really? You always?
Isn't it Cocoa Puffs normally?
No, it's coconuts this week.
Okay.
So here's, I think, a great way to make a holiday greeting stand out, or an invitation to an incentive trip or something like that. A painted coconut with your own personal greeting or
like
your company's
that.
Greeting. So you can get these painted coconuts. They paint and label real coconuts. For all kinds of greetings, including...
And they can double as a bra in an emergency. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, they cut them in half, though.
I guess so. And it's all done right here in the USA, and it's from Coconut Greetings, ASI 45521. And for product information and pricing info, email sales@coconutgreetings.com.
And can't you mail a coconut? In fact, I
you
got
can
one
mail a coconut.
You just write right on and put the stamp?
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
That's cute. So yeah. That would be a cute, like...
Yeah, wouldn't that be...
A,
yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Andy,
I'd like to get a coconut in the mail. Sorry.
All right.
Because why
all
not?
All right. And with that,
so we talked on this show about how the education market is a great sector to target. This item is perfectly suited for that. It's unique fluorescent gel highlighters that won't smear or dry out. They're actually pretty cool. We've seen them here. Check them out. They're from Liquimark, and that is ASI 67675. And there's a photo online right now at asicentral.com/radio.
All right. Joe Haley.
I have socks.
You do have socks.
These are great for team building exercises at companies. Also good for any type of sports team. These have lacrosse sticks on them. It could be for the lacrosse team, soccer team, baseball team, whatever. Booster clubs at high schools can sell these to raise money, and they can actually be part of the team uniform. You can get them from Suyad. That's ASI 88403, and you can find them online at www.88403.asisupplier.com.
For our next team building event, can we get socks?
That would be awesome.
No
seriously, it would
no.
be
striped.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Striped.
Yeah, and we'd have to wear them, and that would be so
rock
cool.
Rock the socks, Nicole.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're going to make that happen.
Nicole, what's your favorite product of the week?
All right, this morning I forgot to put on jewelry, so I kind of feel a little naked. Sorry, everybody. So I was looking.
I was waiting for that.
So
apology.
I was looking up leather cuffs. So this one from Rustico ASI 84264 it's a wide leather cuff in 5 tones. It has a stud in it, which I also like. And you can get them debossed or a leather or a laser engraving. So if I would wear it, you know, probably the masses would too.
Wow.
Good for the dominatrix
a
market.
All right, all those products we find on asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. Thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks to Steve Forbes for giving us some great insights into the presidential election and the economy. And be sure to go to asishow.com.
Pauline.com and register to go see his keynote January 7th in Orlando. Have a great week, everyone.
Happy birthday, Pauline.